This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in and trust the program will be a blessing to you. Now, if you would like to contact me again, you can do so by regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on the website, and you can contact me by regular mail or through the website with prayer requests or comments on the program. So we'd love to hear from you. Now, today is Mother's Day, and I'm going to deal with 1 Peter as he describes the new birth, because that is appropriate, an appropriate topic to deal with on Mother's Day. Mothers are mothers because they have given birth to children. Now, I realize there are some people who function as mothers who have never had a natural birth, but nevertheless, when there's a natural birth involved, that person becomes a mother, and normally that birth is remembered very clearly. Now, the child himself may not remember it, but the mother remembers it. And so when I speak on this and tell people that there should be a time in their lives when they are born again, some people say, but I can't remember when I was born again. I can't remember when I was born the first time. I can't remember when I was born again. Now, I've got two things I'd like to mention with regard to that. Number one is, even if you can't remember it, somebody remembers it, and normally there's a birth certificate that proves that. And the second thing is that the new birth has to do with obtaining a new life in Christ. And in the Bible, there's two things that must happen if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to have our sins forgiven, if we're going to be in heaven. And the first thing is we must be born again. And the second thing is that we must be saved. Now, when I say there's two things, really, those two things are just describing the same thing in two ways. When we talk about the new birth, we're talking about a deliverance for a new life in Christ. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about a deliverance from the penalty that we deserve because of our sins. And even if you want to argue that you can't remember the date of your original birth, you certainly should be able to remember what it was like to be delivered from the penalty that you deserve because of your sin. And the reason you'll remember that is because the Bible is clear that we are lost before we are found, and we have to be awakened to our need of salvation before we'll ever receive Christ as our Savior and enter into the good of the salvation that has been provided for us. Now, when I speak along these lines, and I have done it before, I always like to make it clear that when we look at a birth, we have to recognize that there is a point in time when the seed conceives, and then there is development within the womb. Then there comes a point when the baby is delivered and becomes an independent person, and then there is growth outside of the womb. So some people that do not understand that don't understand why they have had a lot of things open up to them before they were saved. And they don't really understand that the growth continues in a little different way after they're saved. But they've never had it pointed out to them that there is a point of deliverance where the person is born of the Spirit, takes a breath, and is an independent Christian born from above or born of the Spirit. And so when I listen to people's testimony, I'm always listening for that point where they got peace with God because they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to read with you on this Mother's Day is the spiritual side of a physical birth. And just as mothers are really overjoyed on a day like this because they can celebrate with their children the beauty and the blessing of God's creation, we who preach the gospel also rejoice when we can go and see people, or when people come to us and tell us, "You're my father," or "You're my mother in the faith." And we rejoice with them just as we would rejoice in a physical birth. Now, in Peter, we've noted that Peter is one of the people that we need to understand from the standpoint of our faith in the New Testament, and we've been looking at the events in his life, and now we've come to where we're looking at what he wrote to us as the one who is feeding the Lord's sheep. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Then he says again in verse 23, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed," that is, not in a natural way, seed that dies, "not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever," which ties into Paul's doctrine in Romans chapter 10, when he says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so a person who is truly saved is a person who has been born again, born from above, delivered for a new life in Christ. It's a life that begins the moment they trust Christ, and it's a life that prepares them for eternity. That life has both quantity and quality associated with it. When we look at the new birth, though, that's the positive side. We also then have to remember that We read in the Bible, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by whereby we must be saved." And that's the same deliverance, only looking at what we are delivered from. Now, when I talk about these things, I emphasize them because today the new birth and the concept of salvation is not being proclaimed. We talk about the day when we committed our lives to the Lord. We talk about the day when we prayed a prayer. We talk about the day when we went forward. But regardless of which of those ceremonies you may have been involved in, you're not saved until you have trusted in the Lord. And ceremonies do not cause us to trust in the Lord. It's the Word of God as we submit ourselves to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that brings us to that point where we can say, "Oh, God said, Christ died for me, and that gives me peace." And that's the moment of salvation and the moment when we are delivered. And when I speak on these things, I have people say, "But that's just a minor point in the Bible. It's not a major point." But I want you to notice that John writes about it in the Gospel of John when he says in chapter 3 and verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." He writes about it there. If you go to the previous chapter in John chapter 1, he explains it when he says the Lord, as the Word of God, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, that is, they weren't born naturally, nor the will of the flesh, it was not something that they did for themselves, nor the will of man, it was not something somebody else did for them, but they were born of God. As they listened to the word of God, they were born of the Spirit and got peace with God about this great issue, and they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes all the difference. So John writes about it, not only in his Gospels, but he writes about it in his epistles. 1 John 5 and 1, for example, says, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." So if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that doesn't mean that we just mouth the words, we really believe that Jesus came as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament Messiah, and he is the Son of God, and he has not only the power but the authority to save those who trust in him because he died for them at the cross. If you have believed in that truth, you are born of God and you love those who also have believed in that truth. There's a kindred spirit amongst Christians because they understand this transaction that takes place the moment we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul writes about it as well. He writes about it in a little different way. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14, he says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So he realizes that in preaching the gospel, these people became children of God through the acceptance of the truth that Christ died for them. Paul writes again in Philemon about a man who got saved while Paul was ministering to him, while Paul was in jail. And he's writing back to his master, and he says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. So he's looking at this as a birth as well. And then James, the brother of the Lord, also deals with this issue. He says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So again, even James, who did not believe in the Lord until after the resurrection, if I understand it properly, realizes that there's a point in time when we pass from death unto life. And the Bible makes it clear that we don't just learn how to be Christians. We have to repent and believed to be Christians, and repentance has to do with putting away our own ideas, putting away our own justification of our sin, and coming to Christ and receiving him as he is and believing in his truth. That doesn't mean that we don't have problems after we're saved and that we don't need to grow in the truth of the gospel after we're saved. It just simply means that there's a point when we are delivered. And friend, I have to ask you today on Mother's Day, have you been delivered from the judgment that you deserve because of your sin? It's a very simple question. It's a very profound answer. And if you're going to tell me, oh, I'm sure I have, but I don't remember it, friend, I'm going to tell you that that's not biblical. And I'm going to tell you that while I can't argue with you if you say that's the way it is in your life, I can't argue. I can't tell you who's saved and who's not. I'm just telling you that that's not a biblical concept. We don't grow into God's salvation, even though, as I've said, there's growth before the deliverance and growth after the deliverance. But friend, I hope as you celebrate with your children today that you yourself have become a child of God, that you have received the Lord by believing in the Lord, and that you have become a child of God who is forgiven and on your way to heaven. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon this program. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, and we trust there will be those who will be in heaven one day because they have listened and responded to the truth of the gospel as found in the Bible. Now, we commit ourselves to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.